Very soon, all over the world in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line, we'll be honoring the appearance day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'll be in New York by then, so I won't be with you, but I thought it would be nice to, in anticipation of Lord Chaitanya's appearance, to speak something. Coincidentally, just this morning, I received an email from a Vaishnava devotee in one of our temples in America, born in India and very nice devotee. And they just came out with an inner struggle that they're having, and the inner struggle is accepting Lord Chaitanya as Krishna himself. You know, they like devotional service, they like chanting, they like everything. But they struggle with this. My thoughts are a little bit with that exchange that's going to come up, and I was thinking to provide them with a three-part response so that it's like gone at the other side. One of them is a list of scriptural quotes that is pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of references to Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead. But that same list of references of pages and pages and pages for someone that's not received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they'll read them in a different way. There's maybe you've not heard his name, a famous American figure named Benjamin Franklin. You've heard his name, Benjamin Franklin. So he wrote something when he was very young, just like, you know, he was writing when he was a teenager, writing books. So one of the things he wrote was, "My friend and I read the Bible day and night. He reads black and I read white. Scriptural reference, one looking at the scriptural reference sees this, and the other sees that, just like we were discussing yesterday evening. Difference of view on the same thing. So, I'm not going to do that with all of you, just give you lists and lists and lists of scriptural references. I'll give you a few. But the second is the exchange between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, where Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also not able to understand Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead, and how it happened that he went from the position of not accepting Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead to accepting Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead. Like, what transpired, what made that transformation for him? Because at the beginning, he was adamantly, no. And at the end, he was adamantly, yes. So what happened in between? Spend a little bit of time with all of you discussing that. We talked about that a bit while in Puri at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And a third is some appreciation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya afterwards. So we'll go back to Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas. Well, first we'll just do one scriptural reference. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, there's some discussion about forms of the Lord as they appear in the different yugas, or the yuga avatars. And such yug, treta yug, dwarpa yug. And then the yuga avatar for Kali Yuga is described. So I'll say the Sanskrit, you repeat. Many of you know the verse. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. So this is a translation by Srila Prabhupada and his purport from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 3, Text Number 52. In the age of Kali, the intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of God, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. Not an avatar of Krishna, but Krishna himself. There's a distinction. Avatar and avatari. The avatars and the source of the avatars. Krishna is avatari. And Lord Chaitanya is avatari, or Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, he refers to Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha, one of his Sat Sandarbhas, where he elaborates on this verse and explains that Krishna Varnam means, just like we say varna and ashram, varna. What does varna mean? Occupation or category. So, although Krishna himself, he's not an expansion of Krishna, he's Krishna himself, tvasa Krishna, his complexion is not blackish. Or, so, this avatar in Kali Yuga mentioned in the 12th canto Bhagavatam, 11th canto Bhagavatam, it's the Navayogendras speaking to King Nimi. So, Krishna himself, another meaning given by Jiva Goswami is he's always speaking the name Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Krishna, 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 hey. You know that when Lord Chaitanya left for his South India tour, that's what he was all the way traveling, singing just Krishna's name. Krishna Varnam. Tvisha Krishna, although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. Same as another scriptural reference that's very important, is the name-giving ceremony for Krishna that was performed by Gargamuni in a cowshed when Nanda Maharaj went to pay his annual taxes to King Kamsa. So there he requested Gargamuni to do the name-giving ceremony. So Gargamuni did the name-giving ceremony. And he explained that this son of yours, in previous ages, he has appeared as Shukla Rakta Tatapita. not saying it, but indirectly indicating that the yuga avatars in other than Kali Yuga, their complexions are white, red, or yellow. So Lord Chaitanya's complexion is golden in color or yellowish in color. Krishna himself. Yajyai sankirtana prayar yajanti hi sumedasaha. Sumeda. Medha means intelligence, and sumeda is very intelligent. And those who are very intelligent, not those who are lazy and crazy, those who are very intelligent, they will take the chanting of the holy name because it's the Yuga Dharma. It's the means of achieving spiritual perfection. So when we're speaking about Lord Chaitanya from scriptural authority, and again, there's pages and pages and pages of it. I'll see if I can find the file and pass it on to Nanda Gopal, and then you can ask him for it if you want it. Hope I can find it. Pages and pages. But Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya, none other than Brihaspati, the chief priest of the demigods, who appeared to take part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, became the chief priest of King Prataparudra. At King Prataparudra's request, he left Navadvip and went to Puri to become the chief scholar, because King Prataparudra was upholding, or he was a supporter of both Vaishnavism and spiritual education and training. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the best scholar in the whole country. So he requested him, come to my capital come to Puri and become the chief priest. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such a scholar that he had tens of thousands of sannyas students. He was a grihastha. But he was so scholarly, tens of thousands of students, sannyasi students, and other students besides sannyasis. Mega scholar. Lord Chaitanya's arrangement was, when he entered the Jagannath temple, he was alone. When he saw Lord Jagannath, he ran in ecstasy of love for Krishna, because with great anticipation he had been waiting and waiting and expecting to see Krishna. Then he saw Krishna, he ran like the wind towards the altar, and he was such state of ecstasy he fainted in an ecstatic emotion and fell to the ground unconscious. You know this story, but we hear it again and again. It's nice. And the guards saw this young sadhu just sprawled out on the floor, and they got their sticks and they were going to remove him. Just then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came in. Coincidentally. Just then. And saw the sannyasi on the ground and saw the guards ready to toss him out. He said, stop. This young sannyasi maybe is in a state of ecstasy. Don't harm him. Make an arrangement for him to be brought to my home. I'll look after him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was such a scholar. He knew how to examine whether this was cheating, an act, a drama, or genuine. And he tested by putting little fibers of cotton before the nostrils of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see if he was in trance, that is, if his life airs were suspended, or if he was just pretending. So he saw that the fibers were not moving. It wasn't like breathing, inhaling, exhaling. He was not inhaling, exhaling. He was in suspended state. Slight vibration only. He was in trance. So he understood this isn't This is the real deal. This is genuine. He knew it because he's a scholar. Just at that time, Lord Nityananda and Jagatananda Pandit and Mukunda Datta and the other associates of Lord Chaitanya that had accompanied him, they came. Because they came after him, Lord Chaitanya wasn't there, they inquired, "Did you see a tall, golden-complexioned, young, beautiful sannyasi?" "Oh yes, he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya." So they went there. So they knew what to do. They had kirtan. When in doubt, have kirtan. They had kirtan. And after some time, Lord Chaitanya came to his external consciousness. And a little exchange, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Lord Chaitanya and his associates, "Go back to the temple, go with my son, he'll accompany you there. Take your bath and come back, and I'd like to feed you all Jagannath Prasad." And so they came back. They went, and while they was away, Gopinath Acharya, who was the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and was a Vaishnav, in fact, it was in the house of Gopinath Acharya that Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya, stayed for several months in his home in Navadvip. And it was at that time that Lord Chaitanya first met Ishwara Puri, who was residing in Gopinath Acharya's home. So Gopinath Acharya is a great Vaishnava and one who knew who Lord Chaitanya was. This is very essential. One who has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya can distribute the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The opposite is also true. One who has not received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya can't distribute it. Just like during our South Indian Yatra, we visited the place in Sri Rangam where Lord Chaitanya stayed, in the house of Venkata Bhatta. And the something like 21 or 18 or some number of generations later is Murali Bhatta. So he invited us, some of us went early, and we went into his home. And it's, you know, home like any other home in Sri Rangam, except that it's the house where Lord Chaitanya stayed for 4 months. And it was, wow, we're in the house that Lord Chaitanya stayed for 4 months. So he took us into a room where he showed us the deities where that his ancestor Venkata Bhatta had worshipped. And we looked at the deities, and there's, you know, somebody else's altar might look like that, but it was Venkata Bhatta's altar. Looking around and said, "Where in the house did Lord Chaitanya stay?" And he went like this. He stayed in the whole house. Because he had received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he had that mood. He had no doubt. So we went outside to the next room, and there was a very nice framed picture of Vadaraman, the deity of Gopal Bhatta. I just gestured and said, "Oh, Radharaman." And he said, "Gopal Bhatta." He was in that, and Gopal Bhatta had left that house to go through Lord Chaitanya's, under Lord Chaitanya's direction, to take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, and became essentially the author of two of the most important texts that we have. The Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami and the Hari Bhakti Vilas of Sanatan Goswami, he was actually the author, taking no credit because he was so humble. And moreover, he the blessing of Gopal Bhatta was given to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he gave his blessing under one condition. Don't mention my name anywhere in the whole book, and then I give you my blessing. So his name isn't mentioned. But so because he had received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it was in his heart. He knew beyond, it wasn't just like, oh, my ancestors believed in some old thing. It was in his heart. He took us right across the street to the Jagannath Mutt. Like, you know, it's nothing for the people in Sri Rangam except for him and the pujari that takes care, I think, is some relative. And here we go, you know, walking through the whole of Sri Rangam, where his father was the one that made the arrangements for Western devotees to get darshan of Sri Rangam, because before his father did that, they wouldn't let, it was just like Jagannath Puri. They wouldn't let Westerners have darshan of Ranganath. But because of great faith in Lord Chaitanya, against, you know, what religious politics are like, he was risking his position as a Sri Vaishnava. Now Westerners can have darshan. Not only darshan, we were taken right up to the front. Because of his great faith in Lord Chaitanya. Because he had received the mercy of one who had received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So now back to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Gopinathacharya, what is his name? And what family does he come from? And what is his place of origin? He said, he's the son of Purandara Mishra, or Jagannath Mishra. He said, oh, I know Purandara Mishra. He was a very close friend of my father's. So he's practically like a relative. He's practically like a nephew of mine. And what order of sannyas has he taken? And Gopinathacharya said, Bharati. He's from the Bharati Sampradaya. He said, oh. Sarvabhauma said, that's not a very, amongst the sannyas orders, that's not such a high order of sannyas. I know all the mantras, and I can give him sannyas initiation again, and a much higher one, if he would like. And Gopinathacharya said, you don't understand. He's the personality of Godhead. He doesn't need to take a higher order of sannyas for some social position. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, whoa, wait a minute here. You're saying he's the personality of Godhead? On what basis do you say he's that? That's a bold statement. Okay, he's a sannyasi, a sadhu. That's personality of Godhead. So Gopinath Bhattacharya began giving some scriptural references. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, being a scholar, said, well, wait a minute. In the scriptures, it says that the Lord is called Triyuga, which means he only appears in three ages, and this is Kali Yuga, so how could you say he's the Lord who appears in Kali Yuga when he's Triyuga? Got it? That, you know, like scriptural argument. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's student said, yeah, we understand things through logic and argument. Tarka Pratishta. By logic and argument we establish what's truth. And Gopinathacharya said, you can't understand the absolute truth by logic and argument. It's not possible. It's not possible. Then he explained that Triyuga means that he performs leelas in three yugas and not the same in Kali Yuga, and therefore he's known as Triyuga. But he appears in the age of Kali as the Yuga avatar, and therefore He's the personality of Godhead. But what's the use of all this discussion? Because unless you receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you'll never understand anything. One day, my brother-in-law, may that day be yours. Very important, like a blessing. May that day be yours when you will receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and you too will understand. But right now, he was in your own home, right before your very eyes, and you still don't understand. Because this process of argument and logic has made your heart as hard as a dry oil cake. No way will you understand. And his brother said, well, we're just family members, don't get so excited. We're just having a discussion here. And then Lord Chaitanya came. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you're so young. You're just a mere lad. You're just 25 years of age. Think of somebody you know that's 25 years of age to take sannyas. And your features are so attractive. How would it be possible for you to maintain sannyas? Unless you're very fixed in knowledge. A duty as a sannyasi is to know very deeply the scripture. And if you like, I can instruct you in Vedanta Sutra. I'm a good scholar. So Lord Chaitanya said, if it's only your mercy upon me if you instruct me. I'll be so fortunate. Very good. You come again tomorrow and very early, just after you perform your morning duties, and all day long I'll instruct you. So Lord Chaitanya came for 7 days. Like this, Lord Chaitanya sat on a raised seat. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat on a little platform, meaning he put the order of sannyas above him, but he's the scholar, so he was doing the so-called teaching. And for 7 days, all day long, they must have taken a lunch break or something, but all day long. And Lord Chaitanya said nothing. Nothing. 7 days. On the eighth morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was frustrated and said, you don't say anything. I don't know if you're understanding or not understanding. Speak something. Are you understanding Vedanta Sutra? Lord Chaitanya then spoke and said, I understand Vedanta Sutra very well, but your speaking is covering the meaning the more you speak. Oh, really? Well, if you understand Vedanta Sutra, then you explain Vedanta Sutra. Now, mind you, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is such a brilliant scholar that when he heard Lord Chaitanya's explanation of Vedanta Sutra, the light went on. In other words, appropriate to the person, because he was a scholar, he gave him a scholar's approach. And with elucidation that was so astounding, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, can you explain the Atmarama verse from Srimad Bhagavatam? What that means is, it's a verse in which Canto 1, Chapter 7, Verse 7, something like that, where, 7 or 8, where Shukadev Goswami heard Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Vyasadev, and assimilated the message. And then the sages say, wait a minute. Sukadev Goswami was already Brahman realized. So why did he have to study anything? And then the Atmarama verse, even one who is Atma Rama, fully satisfied within, they're full spiritually, still such a person is attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam because it's fully spiritual. It's not like learning something. It's hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead. who is all attractive on the spiritual platform. So worldly people and perfectly realized souls, both are attracted and benefited by Srimad Bhagavatam. So Lord Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, can you explain the Atmarama verse? Lord Chaitanya said, you're very scholarly, I'm sure you can explain it, why don't you explain it? Oh yes, I can explain it. And he gave 13 different meanings of the one verse. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, maybe you can explain it. And without touching on any one of those 13 different meanings, Lord Chaitanya gave some 54 different meanings. And all devotional. And after hearing the Vedanta Sutra explanation and the Atmarama verse, like the full lights went on in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he realized, you're not just a scholar. You're the personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya smiled and then showed his six-armed Sadbhuj form. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya fell prostrated obeisances before Lord Chaitanya. Then Lord Chaitanya withdrew that Sadbhuj form. Sarvabhauma offered prayers. And Lord Chaitanya said, don't disclose this to anyone. Keep yourself peaceful. I'm now going to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya, not next morning, some days later, Lord Chaitanya went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home. Very, very early in the morning. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya apparently didn't get up for Mangal Arati that morning. Because Lord Chaitanya did, and he got some Mahaprasad from Lord Jagannath, and he went straight to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's home, and he was still in bed. Lord Chaitanya woke him and gave him the prasad of Lord Jagannath. He sat up in the bed and immediately ate the prasad of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this is against the rules for a brahmana. Before a brahmana is to take any food, he used to take bath and wash his mouth and worship his deity. And when all of that is done, then he can accept prasad. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew the scriptures and said, in the scriptures it says, even if prasad of the Supreme Lord comes from a distant place and it may appear to be old or stale, one should take it at once. Because it's the mercy of the Supreme Lord. How can you not take the mercy of the Supreme Lord? Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He came just to examine. Did he go back to his former impersonal, scholarly, speculative place? Or had he actually become a Vaishnav? And he was so pleased he'd actually become a Vaishnav. Lord Chaitanya was very, very happy. The very next day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Lord Chaitanya to come to his home along with his associates to take prasad of Lord Jagannath. And Gopinathacharya was there, his brother-in-law. And Gopinathacharya was so pleased to see, just see, I told you that day may come when you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and you'll understand who he really is. In a very humble way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, listen carefully, important. He said, I am your brother-in-law. And because I am simply related to you, and you're a devotee who has received Lord Chaitanya's mercy, therefore I've received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And therefore I'm able to understand Lord Chaitanya, because you're a Vaishnav. And Lord Chaitanya has given his mercy to me because you showed your mercy to me. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's humility, and the accuracy with which he came to the right conclusion without receiving the mercy of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, one will not understand who is Lord Chaitanya. Even with all the scriptural references under the sun that exist in the scriptures, one will not truly understand. One has to receive mercy from Lord Chaitanya or from one who has received his mercy. There are other sampradayas besides the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and they may have respect for Lord Chaitanya as a great scholar or a great saint or a great sannyasi or a great sadhu, but not as the personality of Godhead. Even with the scriptural references, they don't see that way. But just like this example of Murali Bhatt, it was a nice experience because it was very clear that he wasn't just like being polite. He had great faith. Great faith. He was living his life in his tradition. He is currently living his life within his tradition, but at the same time he has great faith in Lord Chaitanya as the personality of Godhead. When he took us across the street to see the Jagannath deities, those of us that were there, it was surprising. The deities don't look like the Jagannath on your altar. They look more like, you know, human forms than these forms. Probably some of the devotees here took pictures, and someday you'll see those pictures. So when we saw the deities, Murali was by my side. He said, Lord Chaitanya was an idol. He didn't just hang out for 4 months. He was very actively engaged in worshiping Krishna. And with his own hand, he carved these deities of Lord Jagannath. Beautiful forms. And so many other things Lord Chaitanya did in the course of being there. His appreciation for the illiterate Brahmana and so many things. Discussions with Venkata Bhatta. The deliverance of Gopal Bhatta and Prabodhananda Sarasati to the understandings that of Gaudiya Vaishnavism that had profound effect on our lives today still. So, some days later, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya decided again that he wanted, because he's a grihastha, how can you serve a sannyasi? He decided he wanted to arrange for Jagannath Prasad for Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So he purchased a large quantity of Jagannath Prasad and made arrangements with Jagatananda and Govinda to take the prasad to Lord Chaitanya's place, Gambira. Before they went, he composed two verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya and had written them on a palm leaf, gave them to Jagatananda and said, along with the prasad of Lord Jagannath, please give him these two verses. Fortunately for us, Mukunda Datta saw them coming, stopped them, asked them what their program was, bringing Jagannath prasad, and he showed them the two verses. Being very intelligent, Mukunda Datta wrote them on the outside of the Gambira because he knew what Lord Chaitanya would do when he saw verses glorifying him. He would rip them up into shreds, which is what happened. As soon as Lord Chaitanya saw them, he just shredded them. But they were written on his wall. And to this day, one of these two verses stands as a statement of who is Lord Chaitanya and what was the gift of Lord Chaitanya. Well, from memory, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekam Purushak Puranam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhadi Kripam Budhir Yas Tvam Aham Prapadye. So, Vairagya Vidya. Rupa Goswami modified it a little bit, Yukta Vairagya. Because these two, knowledge Vidya or Jnana Vairagya, these two are very common in Vedic wisdom as very much appreciated. Knowledge and detachment towards sannyas. But Lord Chaitanya was different than the impersonal sannyas. He was a Vaishnav sannyasi. And let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. And the next verse, let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. So, Prabhupada's purport is here explaining the realization of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself who had come to teach devotional service unto Krishna. So he did so by appearing as the devotee of Krishna to teach devotion unto Krishna, because as you've all heard so many times, that Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita is Sarva Dharmam Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yashami Ma Suchaha. And how does one do that? Krishna wanted to teach others how to do that, and what better instructor is than Krishna himself? So Krishna came.
Let's do this. Can we hook this back up?
I'm going to do a little entertainment session right now. But it's a little... One of our devotees in the United States... I'll give credit where credit is due to Donna Kelly Mataji. She made a presentation before the Sunday school on Gaur Purnima to help the children understand how special it is that the time that we're in, just shortly after Lord Chaitanya's appearance. We'll do it very quickly. Krishna appears once in a day of Brahma. How long is the day of Brahma? 1,000 yuga cycles. How rare the occasion is for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Lord Brahma is born out of the navel of the Personality of Godhead, Garbhadakshay Vishnu. He creates all the inhabitants within the universe. His lifetime, even his one day, is very long. And our yugas, they're small subsets of his lifetime. In other words, wow. Brahma's lifetime. What's that? Okay. Lord Brahma lives for 100 years. That's the duration of his life. And that's that many days, 36,500 years. So 365 times 100, that's his lifetime, those many days. And our earthly years, that's 3.118 times 10 to the 14th power, or 311 trillion 80 billion years. That's Brahma's lifetime. And as the child that put this together said, wow. It was a teenager. It was, wow, that's a lot of time. In each day, Brahma has 12 hours of daytime and 12 hours of night. So his day of 12 hours is 4,320 million years, and his night is 4,320 million years. So that's, you know, times 2, 8.32 billion years. That's one day. And we're presently in the first day of Brahma's 51st year. Here's what it looks like on a timeline. That's where we are. That's Brahma's 100 years. That what, where it goes 100, that represents 311 trillion plus. And we're halfway through Brahma's life. But not only we're halfway through Brahma's life, we're halfway through one of the days. So here we go. One Divya Yuga, or one complete Yuga cycle, is 4,320,000 years, that duration. That's one cycle of four Yugas. And those cycle of four Yugas times 1,000 is Brahma's day, plus his night. And one Manu, in each day of Brahma, there's 14 Manus, so each period of Manu lasts for 380 million years. I mean, like, the numbers are mind-boggling. So if we take one day of Brahma and divide that day of Brahma into 1,000 complete Yuga cycles, and then span that over 14 Manus periods, here's what it looks like. During each 12-hour day, remember there's also a 12-hour night of Brahma, there's 320 million years divided into 1,000 Divya Yugas and 14 Manus, each lasting 380 million years. Okay, so we're at this little juncture, and then here's a subset of that little juncture. We're in Manu number 7. See that at the bottom? Manu number 1 through 14. We're in Manu number 7. That's what this one says. Svaivasvata Manu is Manu number 7. And we're in the 28th Divya Yuga of Manu. So each Manu lasts for 72 Divya Yugas, 28 of them have passed. So here's what it looks like. We're like, you know, about 11:30 in his day. And then each of the four Yugas that make up the Yuga cycle or Divya Yuga, there's Kali Yuga. So here we go. Satyug, Tretyug, Dwapayug, and Kaliyug. This is the 28th Yuga cycle of the 7th Manu, which, and that 7th Manu lasts for 7,320,000 years. There's four main Yugas, these four, and it's very nice math for those of you that like math. Kaliyuga is 432,000 years. But if you add 432,000 to Kali Yuga, you get the duration of Dwapayuga. You get another 432,000, you get Treta Yuga. Get another 432,000, you get Satya Yuga. But the math is really nice. What's 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4? It's 10. Just multiply it by 10. Really cool math to get Yuga cycle, multiples of 10. Makes it real easy. So we're presently in Kali Yuga. So there we are in Kali Yuga. And of the 432,000 years, approximately 5,000 had passed from the time that Krishna appeared, real little after when Krishna appeared. So that's where we are. Out of the whole expanse of the lifetime of Brahma, where Krishna appears in each day of Brahma, how fortunate we are. It's just 500 years after Krishna appeared. And after Krishna appears in his original feature as Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, immediately thereafter, Lord Chaitanya appears. So that's what this one is saying. It's just 5,000 years out of that big, long cycle that Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Krishna appears and then Lord Chaitanya appears. Only once in a day of Brahma. And that's just after the original form of Krishna appears, in the 28th yuga cycle of Vaivasvata Manu. So at the bottom, these appearances occur approximately at 11:30 a.m. in Brahma's day. So there it is. And the duration of Lord Chaitanya's golden era lasts for 10,000 years. And by calculation of Lord Brahma, that's 1/10 of a second on Brahma's time. So 500 of those 10,000 years have passed, and don't let them just flash right by. Chant, chant, chant. Take advantage of the benediction that we've been given by Lord Chaitanya's very recent appearance. So back to the question that the person was asking me this morning, I just received in this morning's email. I have a problem recognizing that Lord Chaitanya is the personality of Godhead. Why is it that all over India people don't know if he's the personality of Godhead? Why people don't know? One answer given is that by his nature, he's Channa avatar or Gupta avatar. He conceals his identity as Krishna because he's showing by example how to be a devotee of Krishna. As the scripture says, that's what he does. But out of person, so many persons can be standing in a row saying, I'm Krishna himself too. I just appear like a devotee, but actually I'm Krishna. Look at all these scriptural references that says I'm Krishna. Look, I'm yellowish. It's not just malaria, I'm yellowish. And I'm always chanting Krishna's name and so on. So the real test is that one has received Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And we have received that mercy, and the encouragement is please take advantage of that Yuga Dharma. Shri Krishna Sankirtana Ki Jai, Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Bol. Lights? Any comments or question?
Maharaj, we many times hear this, it is not possible to understand Krishna, especially in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. For me, it is more and more looking understanding of Lord Chaitanya is not even a neophyte devotee of ISKCON accepts Lord Chaitanya to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It looks like something more deeper is there in understanding Lord Chaitanya.
It's ever expanding. How deep is the ocean? Even the ocean has its limit. But how deep is the spiritual ocean? Here's a nice one. We discussed this in our yatra. When the churning of the Mundra mountain was taking place. Mundra hill was brought and they began churning, but it was sinking. So Kurma came and got his body underneath the Mundra mountain, so the mountain churning could continue. But if what was the bottom of the milk ocean upon which Kurma was resting his legs? What was his resting place? And the answer is he doesn't need one. He's the rest of everything else. That's inconceivable. Because everything, you know, just go in regression. What is it that everything is resting upon? Even though the bottom of the ocean, what's that resting upon, and what's that resting upon, and what's that resting upon? Everything is resting upon the personality of Godhead. So the extent of the glories of the personality of Godhead is, there's no end to it. Jiva Goswami says, unless one accepts that the personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, there's no question of understanding the personality of Godhead. So that's a nice entry point. The personality of Godhead knows no limit. So turn it around. What's the limit? There's no limit. And for he who is the personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is appearing as a devotee of himself, how do you understand that? Besides, that which is unlimited has now just got double unlimited. It's very deep subject matter. And how do you understand a deep subject matter, a spiritual subject matter, is through disclosure. Disclosure comes when there's a loving relationship. So it's through the medium of service to Lord Chaitanya that these truths can be understood, and not by scholarship, not by reading, not by, you know, being a good devotee. Be a good devotee, but that's not... one requires his mercy. One requires that loving relationship. And then there's disclosure. That's why, for example, when we read Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describing Krishna's contemplation on the happiness of Radharani, how does he know what Krishna's contemplations are? Because it's disclosed to him because of the intimacy of his relationship. If we were to do that, it's total speculation what's Krishna's contemplations. So what do? We serve those who have that intimate connection with him. And one who does so from the heart, genuinely, faithfully, then confidential things become disclosed and not otherwise. So that's how to understand Lord Chaitanya. By entering into loving service unto those who are very intimately associated with Lord Chaitanya or his associates. And join the Sankirtan joyfully. Otherwise, it just remains a mystery. Mysteries are nice. But loving exchange is nicer than mystery. That's another mystery. Here's a... you can't see it, it's too small. But here's a photograph of the deities of Lord Jagannath that Lord Chaitanya carved with his own hand that are now in Sri Rangam. I'll put it on the desk. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Prabhu, in one of the districts in Jharkhand, that the state is apart from Bihar, just about 5 years back, there is one district named as Deoghar. In that district, about 200 years ago, one person got born as Thakuran Kulchandra. some of the person may know here. The many of the temples are in Odisha and Odisha, West Bengal, many places. In his scripture, he has also started one making disciples. I also came in contact with him. And in his scripture, he has given some name, Avatari, Avatar name. Matsya Kurma Kola Nrisinga Vaman Shariram Ram Krishna Buddha Yeshu Muhammad Rupayita. Like that, in between, he also counted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in succession, he has started at Ram Krishna Paramahansa. Then his name also. Like that, even he has given this scripture, or his follower has given this scripture. But he also, I seen this, whatever slides we have shown, there exactly he told that 10,000, next 10,000 years, there is no next avatar till the next 10,000 years. Even so many devotees are following him. In his one of the most important arati, he says that, Jai Radhe Radhe Krishna Krishna Govinda Govinda Bolore Charude Man Bhaver Vasa Ajapaname Karure Nesha. Next he says, Charuruman Bhaver Vasa Ajapaname Karure Nesha. Then he says, Charuruman Bhaver Vasa Charuruman Kopat Chaturi Bodhane Bole Hari Hari Jai Radhe Radhe Krishna Krishna Govinda
this,
Govinda
Bolore. This is Bengali, right?
Ji, it is in Bengali.
Okay.
This person is also born in West Bengal only.
Okay, so the punchline of the question is,
ji,
how do we evaluate is this genuine or not?
Ji.
That's the punchline?
Ji, ji.
Three ways. By symptoms, these are standards that Prabhupada has given. By symptoms, by scriptural authority, and by confirmation of elevated perfected souls. Not by popular opinion, but by those three symptoms. Not to say anything about this particular individual for the moment, but in India today, how many avatars of God are there? And each one of them having many followers. So that's not a standard that we apply. Many persons have many persons who are following them as avatars of God, or avatars of Krishna, or Narayan, or whoever. But by symptoms. In the scriptural references in relation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example, there's descriptions of his bodily features. His arms stretching down to his knees. I guess we could measure the gentleman's arms and see if they stretch down to his knees. And his complexion, and the names of his relatives, the place where he would be born, and so forth. So there's a complete match, you know, symptoms. And then his exhibition of pastime. The exhibition of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were unparalleled. The transformations of body, not only of bhav, but mahabhav. You're familiar. Yes? No. Rather than going into it in detail right now, never before heard, and unlikely will never in the future be, where his limbs were totally withdrawn into his body. It was like a pumpkin. And other times where his limbs were extended, where there were 6 inches between the joints of his body, in a state of ecstasy. And upon regaining external consciousness with loud kirtan, suddenly his limbs became normal again. I mean, documented description of those that were present describing those bodily transformations, etc., etc., etc. In Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, by exhibition of divinity, not just mystic power of something, one of the Ashta Siddhis, but other exhibitions of transcendental forms of the Lord. If you patiently go through Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially in the guidance of someone that knows Chaitanya Charitamrita, the distinction will become very clear. Prabhupada described when he was a small boy two things. The first time he saw radio, he was trying to figure out where's the orchestra inside this box. Because it was technology, the reproducing sound, as a small boy, he didn't understand that. But it was just, you know, it was something mechanical. Or when he saw the trolley in Calcutta running, he would get a stick and extend his arm thinking, I can touch that wire and run like the trolley. Being a small boy, not understanding. So in our immature stage of spiritual development, we may take something as amazing. And with a little maturity and a little more experience and a little more deeper understanding, we can see the difference between this and that more clearly. So to not disturb your faith in something, I'm speaking the way that I'm speaking, that let some time pass where you become a little more familiar with who is Lord Chaitanya, not just by blind acceptance or blind rejection, but by careful contemplation. What are the symptoms? What are the scriptural references? And those great authorities that have accepted Lord Chaitanya, what is their position? Something like what Arjuna does in Bhagavad Gita. Not only I'm declaring, but Asita, Devala, and Vyasa, and so many other persons, they've also declared like that. Great, unquestionable authorities, they have accepted Krishna in that position. So similarly, so what I'm saying here is Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And by those standards, we look at something. Because we're neophytes, we're beginning on the path of this great spiritual adventure of trying to understand God and how to serve Him and love Him. So patiently move forward, and I'm suggesting that it will become, in course of time, more clear.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was just going back to your the shloka, which the verse which you are talking about, Saradham Paritajya Mamekam Sharanam Braj Aham Tam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshishami Masucha. Sometimes what happens is, like, even though we understand, like, you know, this lot of materialistic thing and all, and
which thing?
Materialistic thing.
Materialistic thing.
Okay. Yeah, and then what happens? Sometimes it becomes difficult. Like, there are parallel processing happening in mind. Sometimes we always think of Lord, and sometimes, you know, eager, frustration, lust, whatever it comes up. So they basically try to dominate. I mean, one way you think of God, and other way these things come up. So your mind processes both the things, like, and they try to dominate. The materialistic, like the younger frustration, or, you know, the lust, or whatever it is. So how we make sure whatever goes wrong or right, we always remember the God, we are always the lotus feet of the God?
Well, I think you answered your question by the premise of your question. The premise of your question was, it stated, Sarvadharmam Pratyaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So there may be moments, or there may be intervals of time when we're buffeted by the winds of our past misdeeds, but we're protected if we stay in that position of taking shelter. Even when those storms of the lower modes of nature doing their thing and trying to grab our attention and take us away, we don't let go of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. We don't leave that shelter. We're protected. Ultimately, we're protected. Even in the greatest of tribulation. There's, let me just end with this. I'll read this. Another verse. What do we, this was quoted by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to Lord Chaitanya after he was honoring his brother-in-law Gopinath Acharya for delivering him by giving Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He says, quoting second canto, chapter 7, verse 42, "When a person takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without reservation, the unlimited merciful Lord bestows his causeless mercy upon him. Thus he can pass over the insurmountable ocean of nescience. Those whose intelligence is fixed in the bodily conception," just like this morning's class, asatgrahat, "who think, 'I am this body,' are fit food for dogs and jackals. The Supreme Lord never bestows his mercy upon such people." So we have to let go of the bodily conception, and we have to receive mercy and be eager for receiving that mercy. So we can let go of the bodily conception for a short period of time because it's painful. Motivated, inspired by, "I don't like pain," we can let go of that conception. But when the pain subsides, we can go back to that conception and think, I want to be the enjoyer of this body. The material, as you put it, propensities. What's the recourse? Unflinching shelter, making that decision, that commitment to the Supreme Lord, and staying there. Even this other thing comes and goes, because it will come and it will go, just like anything that's of this material world. It's light and it's dark. It's, you know, it's wet and it's dry, and it's this and it's that. It's the world of duality. Whatever side of duality is happening, wait a while and it becomes another side of duality. So, withdrawing, nasate vijite bhavo, nabhavo vijite sataha. Withdrawing consciousness from asat and placing consciousness in sat. It's easy to say it, and that's another thing to do it, but if we practice in taking shelter of sat, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, that's what Gopinath Acharya is saying enables one, on the authority of scripture, to go beyond this duality dimension that we're too familiar with. I'm going to end there. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.